Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. Guess who I had dinner with last night? Lauren and I had dinner with Dr. John Alexander and his wife, Victoria. Now, you may know Dr. John Alexander as Colonel John Alexander, one of the men who stares at goats, as they say, because he inspired the character played by George Clooney in the movie The Men Who Stare at Goats. And when Colonel John Alexander was with the United States Army, he was deeply involved in making decisions and funding some of the most experimental and some would say fringe sort of projects that the military was looking into. And what a life this man has had. What an accomplished life. I've told you before, you know, of course, I'm here in Las Vegas now, and he lives here in Las Vegas, and I've been a guest in his home, and the walls are just covered with pictures of him and Victoria all over the world, literally, you know, from the North Pole to the South Pole to Mount Everest to the pyramids to the jungles. I mean, just all over the place. The guy's really, he's seen it all. And so last night's dinner lasted 4 hours. Now, I think you can imagine the very first thing that I did when we sat down in the restaurant. I pulled out these new UFO documents and I put them on the table and said, "Okay, this is out here now, John. What the hell's going on?" By the way, would you have liked to have been a fly on the wall last night for about 4 hours at that restaurant? How much would you have paid for that experience? So, let me just tell you this first off. Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about when I say, you know, UFO documents, you should stop listening to this particular podcast right now, because this is part of my continuing coverage about these documents that were revealed just days ago. Stop listening to this podcast. Go back 2 days ago and start there with where, you know, that the topic is big UFO news. Listen to that and then work your way to this. Otherwise, you'll get lost. I mean, that's the thing. When you're listening to a guy like myself who attempts to do a daily podcast, you're going to have to keep up with it, because I can't recap everything every time I do one of these. So you need to try to keep up with it on a daily basis. It's like a soap opera if you want to understand what's happening here. The other thing I want you to know is that I am only able to get great information from fantastic people like John because I honor and respect the friendship and the privacy issues. So, in other words, I'm not going to come on here and spill the beans about something that I've been asked, you know, not to talk about or whatever. I understand the boundaries between private conversation and what is suitable to express publicly. Because everything I'm going to tell you, I got John's permission to tell you. And that's very, very important because, you know, I don't want some reputation as being a guy who is just going to turn around and gossip about everything he's told. That's not at all the truth. In fact, I'm very, very good at keeping secrets if I have to. Anybody who knows me knows that is true. I know that certain things can be disclosed publicly in an appropriate way, and I know there are certain things that don't need to be. And I'm very particular about that and keeping names and content and all that private unless I've been given explicit permission to talk about it. So don't worry about the fact that I'm going to tell you anything here that betrays anybody's trust. So, I pull out the documents, put them on the table, say, "John, Harry Reid has said this. You know, we have this list. John's wife, Victoria, she picked up the list of the 38 topics. And, of course, that lists the names of all the scientists. And, by the way, there's been a little bit of confusion because I told you, if you go to joshuapwarren.com and you scroll down the homepage, I told you that you could download the PDF of the letter and the studies. But those are two different things because some people have emailed me and said, oh, I downloaded the letter, but I don't see the list of studies. Now, these are two different files, but they're right next to each other at joshuapwarren.com. But you just have to download each one separately. So anyway, Victoria, she picks up the list of 38 studies. She'd never seen this before. And she said, these are all our friends. Because it lists, you know, it lists the scientists by each study. And I said, yeah, I kind of figured that might be the case. And she was like, yeah, this guy does this and this guy does that, you know. And I said, well, look, I would love to sit down and chat with any of them because I don't think I've met any of the scientists on that list. John, of course, is not a bit surprised by any of this. I mean, you know, he looks at the letter. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know. And he sees the list of topics. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, again, mind you, this man, I mean, he's, you can look this up for yourself. He's up in years now. I guess he's in his 80s. He's been around a long time. He's seen a lot of stuff. He's done a lot of stuff. He doesn't get excited pretty much ever. Okay. So, John, and by the way, like I say, I've known him for a long time, and I've known him well enough that when I did my big event here on the Las Vegas Strip in May, he came over and gave a presentation on telekinesis and remote viewing and all that kind of stuff. So I said, John, what's going on here? You know, what can you tell me? Because the number one contractor in this project was, or I suppose is, Bigelow Aerospace. We're talking about Robert Bigelow, who just recently, I guess it was either earlier this year or last year, he went on 60 Minutes and told Laura Logan, you know, he has no doubt that they, you know, were being visited by aliens, et cetera, et cetera. And John has worked with Bob Bigelow for a long time. I don't even know the extent of, you know, what they've worked on together. So basically, here's what I can tell you. So John told me, yes, we've got some stuff. He said, the problem is, this stuff is so strange that figuring out exactly how it works is an extremely complicated and sophisticated project. He said it almost goes to the point, he says, where we can't imagine what we're dealing with. And I thought that was interesting because that is the exact same thing that Senator Harry Reid said in his letter to the Deputy Secretary of Defense. He said this is going to affect all of these amazing technologies in ways that we cannot yet imagine. And John said, he echoed that. He said the same thing. So, once again, I'm like, okay, wow. You know, so, well, what, you know, what do we do here? And John says, well, he said, really, I believe the only way that we're going to understand possibly what we're dealing with here is to produce something that is modeled on the Human Genome Project. Except in this case, we're not dealing with genes. We're dealing with this stuff that we have. And we're looking at a budget that's about three times the budget of the Human Genome Project. Now, when a guy like John Alexander throws a number out there, he's not just tossing out some arbitrary number. I mean, for many years, like I say, he was in the position of being able to actually make pitches for funds and get checks signed and put into the hands of various people to get experiments done. And in many cases, there was no official accounting, so to speak, for what was being done. So, but he was really particular and kept stressing this, like, you know, we need to use the Human Genome Project as a model. Okay, so I'm looking right now here at information on the Human Genome Project. And the Human Genome Project was an international scientific research project with the goal of determining the sequence of nucleotide base pairs that make up human DNA, and of identifying and mapping all of the genes of the human genome from both a physical and functional standpoint. Yeah, that's very long-winded, but you get the idea. But here's something that you should really pay attention to. It remains the world's largest collaborative biological project. The idea was picked up in 1984, formally launched in 1990, and they declared it complete in April of 2003. Funding came from the U.S. government through the National Institutes of Health, as well as numerous other groups from around the world. It also goes on here to say, to give you a sort of clear idea about what this is. They say the genome of any given individual is unique. So, like, obviously, you are supposed to be 100% unique. To be honest with you, I'm not sure how that applies to identical twins. I'm not sure if a twin, if twins have an identical genome. I don't know. But anyway, it says mapping the human genome, and that's in quotes, the human genome, involved sequencing a small number of individuals and then assembling these together to get a complete sequence for each chromosome. Therefore, the finished human genome is a mosaic, not representing any one individual. Now, me giving you that information is not directly related to the topic at hand, but that's just to give you a refresher, because I don't want to keep saying human genome, and you might be like, well, what was that again? You know, yeah. So it was a project, of course, to find out, like, what is the basis in DNA for humanity as a whole. That's how I understand it. So anyway, he said, you know, we need to model it on this. Okay, well, first off, let's look at the money that was spent on the Human Genome Project. They claim that it took about almost $3 billion, $3 billion to get the Human Genome Project accomplished. Now, that is a huge amount to just about anybody. But, okay, if we triple that, well, we're looking at $9 billion. Let's just call it $10 billion. So if he says we should do something that's modeled on the Human Genome Project, but it's going to cost, you know, three times more, let's give ourselves some wiggle room. What the hell? We'll just say $10 billion to work on UFO debris. Now, how significant is that? Well, the United States yearly federal budget is in the neighborhood of $3.8 trillion. Not billion, trillion. And as a matter of fact, I meant to sit down and do some math and figure out how many billion makes a trillion and all that. But, you know, you get to a point with all these numbers where it doesn't... You're just like, can I pay my light bill this month? Okay, so the U.S. yearly federal budget is $3.8 trillion. The military budget is almost $600 billion. And so, you know, we're talking about supposedly, you know, over 50% every year is just for military. So $600 billion doesn't, I mean, if you consider that he's thinking, based upon what he said to me last night, you know, it may be $10 billion should be the budget for this. If the military already gets $600 billion, it doesn't seem like that much, does it? Now, of course, within the military budget is this other section called the black budget. And that is money that is directed toward classified and covert operations. So, in other words, that's money that doesn't have to be accounted for officially in any particular way because it's being used to do secret stuff. And that's a tricky territory, isn't it? Because we understand security and that not everybody needs to know everything, but you still need some kind of oversight. Well, anyway, most people at this point are estimating that the black budget is about $50 billion. So if indeed this project were to be a $10 billion project, it's still not that bad. If you just look in terms of the black budget, if the black budget's got $50 billion, well, that's just one-fifth of the black budget. But here's, to me, the bigger problem, and I believe that John might agree with this. I don't know. You know, he says the first thing is getting funding, and a lot of these documents and stuff that come out are all documents that are in one way or another geared toward convincing people to allocate funding. But the biggest issue is, you know, he is saying this should be modeled on the Human Genome Project, but let's go back to that first sentence I gave you about the Human Genome Project. The Human Genome Project was an international scientific research project. The world's largest collaborative biological project. So this, to me, seems to be the problem. It's not really a money problem. The problem is the letter that Senator Harry Reid wrote to the Department of Defense makes it clear that the ultimate goal here is to keep this strictly within the hands of the United States government so that the U.S. government can maintain its dominance. So you have all of these brilliant people who are distributed all around the world who could jump on board and accomplish this task of figuring out, you know, exactly how all this, in my mind, clearly alien technology works. But that would defeat the purpose. So there's a bit of a catch-22 there. You know, we got the money, but how do we figure out what mines get to be contributed to this project? So therein lies the conundrum, right? The United States has got the stuff that comes from another world, but it's so advanced, it's so sophisticated, it's so complex that they still don't know what they have and how it works, and they need a bunch of money to work on the project, but then who gets to decide, you know, who comes on board to work on the project, because this is a classified project, and the Human Genome Project was not classified. So this is where you have a tricky situation. So I want to go on the record right now and tell any government official who is listening to this podcast, I am here with a part-time residence in Las Vegas, and I, Joshua P. Warren, will be more than happy to volunteer my expertise to come and take a look at some of this stuff and tell you what my thoughts and feelings are on this material. And I assure you, I will use the utmost discretion when it comes to my involvement with said project. So, just putting that out there for all the men in black, just so it's known. But anyway, that was, you know, the most prominent aspect of the dinner last night was, again, this was not that surprising to John. He made it very clear how complicated this is. He made me feel like that based upon what he knows, we are still a long way from understanding how this works, because this stuff is so sophisticated and advanced. And he said, in order to do what we need to do to try to understand how this works, it's going to take an astronomical amount of money. And he said it should be modeled on this project, which is one of the biggest collaborative international scientific projects in human history. So it makes you kind of think that we may not be that far from some kind of clearer disclosure about what we have, but we still are very, very, very far from understanding how it works. But that just sort of helps to demonstrate our place in the universe, doesn't it? And I think it's a wonderful, beautiful concept that somewhere out there, there are minds that have been able to create technology that transcends what we can grasp. I like that. I know some people will be frightened by that because they think, well, my God, what happens if we get invaded by them and all that? But I feel like, hey, whatever these things are, if they're here already, and to the extent that we can have some bits of their tech and they haven't, you know, destroyed us, well, then why worry, you know? If it happens, it happens. Okay, fine. But they would have done it already, I suppose. By the way, you know, John's newest book is called Reality Denied. You should see the reviews at Amazon.com. Rave reviews. Practically 5 out of 5 stars. And there are a lot of them. So you should definitely read his new book, Reality Denied. And his website is johnbalexander.com. He spells John with an H. So that's John, J-O-H-N, B, Alexander.com. While I'm giving out information, you know, I get contacted about every week by some kind of a TV company somewhere in the world wanting me to be a part of, you know, one thing or another. And some of this stuff materializes and some of it doesn't. And you may have seen that the new series, the new revamp of In Search Of, is now airing on the History Channel. And they contacted me earlier this year and interviewed me for a couple of episodes of the new In Search Of, hosted by Zachary Quinto. And I hope that my interview makes the cut. You never know until you see it on TV. But I'm always getting people contacting me, you know, asking me about different projects, if I can be a part of them or if I can help them find talent. And so I got an email from a lady who is a producer with a big production company in Canada called Bristow Global Media, and they produce some really good content. Her name is Andrea Lacey, and she said that she is producing a show right now about first responders who have had paranormal experiences in the midst of a 911 call. And she said that, you know, that's a very select group of people, especially those who are willing to come forth and talk about it. And so she was asking me if I could spread the word that she's looking for those types of people. So we're talking about, you know, police officers, EMTs, firemen, you know, any kind of first responder. But it has to be in the midst of a 911 call. You experience something paranormal. And she didn't clarify, you know, any limitations on that. But I contacted some of my friends who I knew fit into this category, and they have already been in contact with her, and at least one of them, I believe, is on his way to Toronto, Canada soon, supposedly, to be a part of this show. So anyway, if this is if something that applies to you or someone that you know, well, here's how you contact her. Again, her name is Andrea Lacey, so you can grab a pen here. And so her email address, she wants to be emailed, is A. Lacey, and that's spelled Lacey with an E. So that's A. L-A-C-E-Y, A-L-A-C-E-Y, at bristowglobalmedia.com. And that's spelled B-R-I-S-T-O-W, globalmedia.com. That's B-R-I-S-T-O-W, G-L-O-B-A-L, MEDIA.com. A. Lacey at bristowglobalmedia.com. And if you have any problems, you can also just email me through joshuapwarren.com, and I'll be happy to forward your email along to Andrea Lacey. And speaking of joshuapwarren.com, I am about to sit down right now and work on some of the analysis behind these new UFO pics that were sent to me from Puerto Rico that were captured days ago over the El Junque rainforest. And I'm going to get these things posted there at joshuapwarren.com. If you just scroll down the homepage, I'm going to try to get something posted tonight or tomorrow. And then I'll talk about it a little bit on the podcast. But that's just another reason to go to joshuapwarren.com, check out the Curiosity Shop. I hope that you will buy tickets, if there are still any remaining, to my Los Angeles event coming up soon. And if there aren't, if we don't have a sellout, like if it, like for it's possible, I haven't checked the numbers, it may be sold out, I am going to double the prices on the tickets that remain, because only 49 are there total. So this is your heads up on that. If you want to go and hang out with me in Los Angeles, you better get your ticket now, because I'm going to double the prices. So you've been given advance notice on that. But anyway, you'll find a link there to this podcast. It's called Joshua P. Warren Daily. It's always short. It's always free. And who knows what I'll have for you tomorrow and the next day and the next day, but I promise you it's going to be good. You can subscribe through various means or just follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren, and I will post when a new one is available. I'll tweet that to you. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your interest and, you know, just being a curious person. That means so much to me, and I will talk to you again soon.